Well, welcome all. My name is Jill Fox, and I am pastor of Next Gen here at Westwood. And I absolutely love the area that I get to serve in here. And there's a reason for that. I mean, multiple reasons, but there is one reason that I really like. Every single week, I get to meet new people. Now, some of you would hate that, but I love that. And I found that I usually do the same thing every single time I meet new people. Hi, my name's Jill Fox. What's your name? They'll usually say hi back, they'll say their name, and then my most next used phrase is typically, so what do you do? It is a nice question. It's a simple question. Typically, it is a safe question for an introduction. But the reality of that question actually hits us deeply. What do you do? We have put an incredible amount of time, energy, and worth in the what do you do? What job title do you have? How do you spend your days? What is that thing that you do? And we live in a culture that places an extreme amount of value on the what do you do and your success. Now, let me be clear here from the very start. There is nothing wrong with success nor ambition. But what can get scary about success and ambition is when we begin to define ourselves by it. We believe it is who we are. Our worth is in it. And it's easy to do this because it can mean power, living in the right zip code, the right name on a car, status. And often, somewhere along the line, we start to believe that what we do defines us. But you are not what you do. And one of the greatest questions I will ask you tonight is, do you believe that? And can you believe that? Because for some of us in this room, we can say, I am not what I do. But if we were truly honest with ourselves, we would find that incredibly hard to believe. Because for some of us, many of us, our worth, our value, it's all wrapped up in what we do. It's being the all-star athlete, being the funny person in the room, being the CEO, or being the perfect dad. A young woman I know had a career that others admired. From the day she left college, she had worked hard. She could tell you every single sacrifice she had made. But she could also tell you that she loved to hear people say how great she was at her job. She loved to tell people where she worked. She loved to share about the awards that she had gotten over the years. But if she was also honest with you, she would tell you that she was tired and she was exhausted. Always performing, always living for the next thing, always wanting to hear the next affirmation. Well, it was a nice day, so she took her kids to their favorite dessert shop. It was going to be a fun day with mommy. And so she got the kids in the store, and then all of a sudden her cell phone began to ring, and she saw it was work. Well, she couldn't miss a beat, so she picked it up. She took the call. By the time she turned off her cell phone and put it back in her bag, she was frustrated and she was upset from the call. So she thought, we have to leave. I can't handle this. She said to her kids, come back on out. But her two-year-old little boy, well, he wasn't going to do that. Mom has not bought me dessert yet, and it's everywhere in here. We're not leaving. So he did what any two-year-old kid would do. I'm not going. So she went over and she quickly picked him up, and she walked back to the car. She opened the door, she put him in his car seat forcefully, and she looked at him and said, you're a bad boy. You're a bad boy. She went and got in her seat, put on her seatbelt. She looked in the rearview mirror, and there sat her little boy crying quietly. And then she began to cry. She shared with me these words. She said, I drove the car home hating myself, hating what I had become. But the worst part, she said, was knowing she couldn't let go of her job, even though it was making her into a person she never wanted to be, and now a mom she hated. Because her worth, her identity, was in that job and what people said about her. That is the pain, and that is the brutal honesty of finding your worth and what you do, and what others say about you. And when we live in that place, it's scary. What happens if we lose our job? What happens if we break our leg and can't perform? What happens if there isn't a child around to parent? What happens? But tonight I want to suggest a new way to live, a new way to find our worth and our identity. In Matthew 4, 2 through 4, we find the story of Jesus being tested in the wilderness by the devil. And if we look closely, Jesus is saying words that give truth into how we should live and where we should find our identity. Matthew 4, 2 through 4. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." Jesus was being tempted in the same way that we all are tempted. When we're weak, when we're hungry, to fill that hunger with something that seems like it's going to fill us. And we can be incredibly good at filling those spots of hunger for our identity in the things that we do and the words that others say to us tied to the things that we do. That if we have a successful career, if we raise our kids well or make a lot of money, that we'll be filled, that we'll finally be whole. But Jesus comes to us in truth. He challenges us to see the things of this world, our achievements, our goals, that they will never satisfy us. Sure, they will satisfy for a short term, but not long term. And we will always be hungry for more. Jesus offers us truth that will sustain us. He says, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Jesus is saying that we'll never be filled from the things of the world. No job, no person, no amount of success or position will ever satisfy you. And if we put our identity in that, we will always end up dry. We need to live on the word of God, on the truth of God. We need to learn his words, meditate on them, and put our identity in them. So tonight, I want to give us truths. Truths to squash the lies that we tell ourselves, the lies the devil wants us to believe. We say, I need the right job for value. Truth says, Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. Before you were even formed, someone saw you as valuable. We say, my achievements define my worth. Truth says, Luke 12:7, indeed, the very hairs on your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than the sparrows. Someone sees you as incredibly worthy. We say, I am not enough unless I am affirmed by others for the things that I do. Truth says, Psalm 139:14, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. You are enough. You were made wonderfully. We say, I have to be the greatest. I have to win to be successful. Truth says, 2 Corinthians 12:9 through 10, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecution, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. It's okay to not always be the greatest. It's okay to be weak. Our strength can be in God. We need to set our identity up in what God says about us, not in what we do. Because if we do that, when we fail, we are a failure. When we lose, we are a loser. And the list goes on and on and on. But when we know that we are loved by God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and that our worth and value is in him alone, we can rest in that. I had a friend say something to me in college that was insightful, and his words have forever been imprinted in my mind. You see, he knew me really well. He knew that I was choosing to find my identity in the things that I did. And one day he looked at me and he said, Jill, If you could never do one great thing again in your life, and if you had to be in a tiny room for the rest of your life, when knowing that you are loved by Jesus Christ and your worth comes from that, would it be enough? His words spun in my head, and then I realized it. I was performing for me and my glory. And here is the other very scary thing about when we find our identity in what we do. It's about us. When it's all about us and we're seeking our own success, we can't be agents of the kingdom. To think that we may miss out on the adventures that God has for us because we are so wrapped up in ourselves that we forget to think about what does he want us to do? What does he have for me? A man that I knew from the time I was a very little girl, a baby actually, passed away about a little over a year ago. And I had watched him my entire life because he was my best friend's father. He was a simple Iowa farmer. He was not a flashy man. He would actually hate to know that I said the word flashy near his name. Chuck it is. And he would actually hate to know that tonight I was even talking about him. There was one thing, though, that I knew about Chuck from watching him from the time I was a little girl. He didn't define himself by what he did. His identity was in God. He loved the Lord, and he was always available for the adventures that he had in front of him. You see, Chuck woke up every day, and he led a team of men that helped him on his farm. And every day, those men watched Chuck live for Jesus Christ. But they also watched Chuck be diagnosed with cancer. And they watched Chuck continue to live for Jesus Christ in the midst of that diagnosis. The interesting thing was that over the years, those men would slowly start to trickle into church. When Chuck passed away, it was then that the story of his life would be told in cards that were written to the family by those men that worked with him. Their stories recounted him sharing with them about Jesus Christ, notes he would write to them, and prayers he would pray for them. The notes to the family were all about how he lived for Jesus Christ and how each day on that farm in Iowa, he showed them what that meant. You see, the men didn't remember him for what he did. Yes, he was an incredible farmer that was successful. But they remembered him for how he lived and who he lived for. It is my hope tonight that for each of us, we're like Chuck. May we know that our identity should be all wrapped up in what Jesus Christ says about us, not in what we do. But may the what we do be all about being agents of the kingdom. Let's go ahead and pray together. Father, we come before you. And Lord, in this place, we declare your goodness. And Father, we are so grateful for the ways that you have gifted us, our gifts, our talents, our abilities. But Father, may we always know that it is for you and for your glory. And Lord, for everyone in this room, myself included, may we always know that our worth and our identity comes from knowing you, Lord. We love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's stand. I was supposed to stand you before I pray, but I'm going to stand you now. Now, as you go the rest of this week, may you know that your worth and your identity comes from being loved by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen.